This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you. Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the, hey Marge, did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Running a growing business means getting the insights you need wherever you are. With Shopify's single dashboard, you can manage orders, shipping, and payments from anywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the United States, and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/ifanboy, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/ifanboy now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/ifanboy. This is an iFanboy special edition podcast on Gotham.
Going down a dirty inner city side road, I plotted. Madness passed me by, she smiled high, I nodded. Looked up as the sky began to cry, she shot it. Met a girl from Dearborn early 6 o'clock this morning, Colfax.
Hello, welcome to a special edition iFanboy podcast on Gotham. My name is Connor Kilpatrick, and I'm here with Paul Montgomery.
Hey, everybody.
And we thought, since there's a whole bunch of new comic book shows this year, we would do some special edition podcasts talking about the pilot episodes. We did that for the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. show. We had fun doing that. And just to head off any questions on Twitter or the website, we're not going to do every episode of this.
No.
We're just going to talk about the pilot. So today, obviously, if you listen to this when we put it out, Gotham is premiering on Fox in the United States. And in next month, you'll have The Flash and you'll have Constantine. We'll do shows on both of those. I don't know if we're going to do iZombie. Probably not.
I'm kind of curious about iZombie, actually, because it's a Rob Thomas thing. We'll see.
We'll see. We're definitely going to do these first three, though. So yeah. Look forward
I'm
to those.
I'm also about to get very, very busy this fall.
Right, exactly. So no promises. But we were going to do them all in one show. Paul had a brilliant idea of breaking them up into three shows. So
let's break them up.
Gotham is the Batman show from airing on Fox, which is unusual since people always assume that the WB, or the WB, holy cow, the CW network will always get those shows because they are also owned by Warner.
I wouldn't even have stopped it because I'm so used to it being the WB, but right. The CW. So,
but apparently this show ended up at Fox. It's from Bruno Heller. He's the creator, and he's the guy behind The Mentalist. He did Rome. He's in a bunch of stuff. And they fast-tracked this one. I remember the announcement that they were developing it to when they actually picked it up and shot it. It was quick.
Yeah, I was like, that'll be fun in 2017 or whenever we get to it. And that happened quickly. Things are escalating quickly in the world of superhero TV shows.
Exactly. They're capitalizing on all that. And I have to give credit to DC Entertainment for they're really doing a good job of getting these shows picked up.
Yeah, I mean, next year, this time, we could be talking about Supergirl if things keep going at this pace.
Right. Who knows what will also spin off of Flash and Green Arrow. Mm-hmm. So this is a TV show about Gotham. It's the origin story of a lot of these characters you know and love. So you've got a young Bruce Wayne, you got a young Selina Kyle, you got a younger Penguin and Riddler and all those characters that you know. And the center of this show is young Jim Gordon coming to Gotham. In fact, the pilot seemed like his first day on the job with the GCPD, mm-hmm. With his new partner, Harvey Bullock. So that is the setup. It's a one-hour live-action show. And
if it is his first day, what a first day.
What a crazy first day.
This isn't just... Now, a lot of people are like, oh, they're doing Gotham Central as a TV show. Not quite. Although they flirt with it, sometimes to an infuriating degree. Because you're like, why can't you just be Gotham Central? But because it diverges in some really important ways. Like, on this particular day, they catch a case, and it happens to be the murder of the Waynes.
Well, it's not even like his very first morning. He stops the hostage situation in the police department. Infuriating the rest of his fellow officers because he doesn't just shoot the guy; he actually just disarms him. And then as Harvey Bullock and Gordon are about to go off shift, they catch the Red Bull of all Red Bulls, the Wayne murder. So, which is actually witnessed by young Selena Kyle, who's a pickpocket on the street. And so this is a rough first day for young James Gordon, but he's up to the task. He's the one good man in the force. So let's talk about what we thought. It's just interesting because I knew a couple of people who had seen this very, very early in the process and were telling me that how horrible it was. And then someone else who saw it early in the process told me that they didn't think it was that bad. And so I went in with very low expectations, and I came out thinking that it was very much a pilot.
Right.
The tone is sort of all over the place. They haven't quite established the characters, and some of the acting is not on point. But I didn't think it was terrible, and I actually kind of looking forward to it.
You know, I was wondering if we were going to do Good Cop, Bad Cop on this. And in the beginning, it was like, oh, no, this is not going to be a fun podcast because I really don't like this. But then I think in the second half,
yeah,
it kind of picks up.
And the thing about pilots is, and we're going to talk about this again at least one more time.
Mm-hmm.
But pilots are often very rocky because they haven't, you know, you write this pilot script before you really know what the show is. And if you go back to a lot of famous shows, the shows are very different, especially in the pilot form. So this show could straighten out its problems, and I give pilots a little bit of a leeway because they don't really know what they are yet.
Sometimes there's a really long time between when a pilot is written and when the rest of the show is written.
Right,
and totally that's after they get notes. Like they pick up the series and okay, now we got to write what's, and they actually call the second episode of the season is episode one.
Right.
Because the pilot is like its own little movie thing, like Matt Weiner and Mad Men. He carried that around in a briefcase for years.
And if you watch the Mad Men pilot, it's completely, totally different than the series. But anyway, I didn't think this was terrible. I think there's definitely some problems, but I think there's definitely some really good things. And I was taking notes while I watched the pilot. I watched all of them three times, I think. And I took some notes, and my first note was Donald Logue in capital letters with 3 exclamation points. Because I think anytime he's on the screen as Harvey Bullock, it's fantastic.
Interesting. I love Donald Logue, and I loved him in, you know, Terriers, and it was cool when he showed up on Vikings, which was weird.
Yeah,
it's like, it was weird. Donald Logue. I don't know that this is the best use of Donald Logue. I don't know that he's miscast or anything like that. It's just in this pilot, I don't know. And that's also, I have some conflicted feelings about just the way that Bullock overall is depicted.
Well, it's interesting. I think what works for me is because Bullock is a hard character in the show because he's a bit of Detective Flass from year one and he's a bit of Harvey Bullock from the comics.
Right.
In that he is basically a good cop who's in a dirty situation, making the best of it.
I don't know. I think you're being a little generous. I mean, he's asking Gordon to murder at the end.
Yeah, but he's killing a bad guy. I mean, we've seen a lot of cops do that in these kind of gray line cop shows. And Harvey Bullock is very much like that in the comics. In fact, there's been times in the comics where he's been a flat out bad guy cop. So there is precedent for Harvey Bullock not being the best cop. And I think part of the journey of the show, I suspect, is Gordon rubbing off on Bullock.
Yeah.
So he's got to start at a bad, dark place. But I think the brilliance of Donald Logue is that he's charming while he's a bad cop.
I think just starting out with this whole pilot thing, they feel very archetypical.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they refer to Gordon as, you know, he's the
war hero.
He's the war hero, and he does this thing with, like, he moves his mouth, but the whole rest of his face does not move. Have you noticed this?
That was a lot in L.A. Ben McKenzie is Gordon, and he was Batman in Batman Year One.
Right.
Strangely enough.
Which is interesting.
And he was on the O.C., and he was on the very highly acclaimed Southland cop show.
Mm-hmm.
Which I only saw a couple of episodes of.
And there's shades of that. Like, I only watched a couple episodes of Southland 2, but I think he's basically kind of, you know, it's the same bag of tricks. But he's very, you know, straight-laced. very intense.
Right.
And I'm hoping that they, you know, have a little bit of levity coming up.
Yeah, but I think the levity part's going to come from Bullock, and he's going to be the straight man. Just 'cause I don't know that Ben McKenzie has that in his toolbox. I've never
seen. Even when he was on the OC, you can be funny as a straight man.
Sure.
You know, you can render some comedy from that. Here, it's just kind of very. It's like his take on the young Batman in that year one animated film. Just very intense, very like, you know, this guy's really, you know.
Right. And then he's my biggest worry. Obviously, he's Gordon. He's the main character. And he you know, he would have been my first choice. I don't think he's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he has the track record with Southlands to make it work. But I didn't think he was the biggest problem, nor did I think Donald Logue was the biggest.
It's a mustache, who I like. Right? You need a mustache.
To me, the biggest problem was Fish Mooney.
Yeah.
Jada Pinkett Smith's... this is a completely new character they made up for the show. She's the crime boss of Gotham, or the conflicting crime boss with Carmine Falcone.
Mm-hmm.
She was probably the worst, I thought.
You know, it's interesting. I was reading some commentary on this, and just to get an idea of what other people are saying, and some people are suggesting, oh, Fish Mooney's going to be the favorite. She's really interesting.
Oh.
Great creation. And I don't know that I think she was terrible, but for the amount of screen time, not nearly as interesting as some of the other characters could potentially be.
When you
consider that she's going to be the Lex Luthor of this series.
Right. And to me, she falls into that space of actors who, when they get a comic book role, they overact it.
Mm-hmm.
And she definitely was chewing scenery. And her character wasn't compelling enough right now to make that work. To me, she just felt a little over the top.
Yeah,
and you're right. She's the big bad, at least of this season. I think just of this season, the way it looks like it's going to arc out for the Penguins, because the Penguins are right hand man. But she's just a little over the top for me, and it didn't get any better the more I watched it.
I will say, villain wise, I thought they have a great Falcone.
Falcone's good. Penguin, I thought, was really good.
You know, I was hesitant about him at first, but
Robin Lord Taylor, which is a really awesome name.
I dig this guy.
He's just weird enough, but he also kind of looks like a young, skinny Penguin.
Mm-hmm.
And he's creepy. he's sort of unsettling. I like
that weird coda scene where he comes up out of the water and attacks the fisherman. I assumed he was going to steal the fisherman's fish.
Right.
The Penguin eats fish, but he steals a sandwich. So I don't know if that was just like an in-joke.
He's hungry.
It was like some weird reversal, but he kills the guy, slashes his throat, and then steals a sandwich and is just ravenous. And I was like, what does that mean? I don't know what that means exactly.
We got a few other characters. Edward Nygma is the police scientist. He's the Barry Allen of
Not Into That.
Not Into That?
Not...
I think it kind of plays into his history again, you know, where he was a private detective for a while in the comics, and he was sort of a big guy.
I mean, yeah, I think you could have a lot of fun with the... Well, and as we've seen with Paul Dini in the comics, you can have a lot of fun with the Riddler as being on the good side.
Mm-hmm. Or starting on the good side.
Or starting on the good side, or whatever. Well, he didn't start.
I mean, here he starts on the good
side. Right, yeah. So you can have fun with the Riddler as, you know, chaotic good, or whatever, if you want to get into your D&D manual. But I think the actor, and maybe the way it was directed, was really over the top.
Mm.
And it's, I don't think, you know, I think you can play that a little closer to the vest.
And then we have, very briefly, we meet not Pamela Isley, but she's Pamela something else. I forgot already. Poison Ivy Pepper.
Ivy Pepper.
Ivy Pepper, strangely enough.
So it's not even Pamela. It's
that was
Ivy
one of
Pepper.
The strange head-scratching changes.
Like
everything else is pretty on point in terms of at least the names and their roles. And this was kind of like, oh, okay.
Aside from some of the tonal stuff we've been talking about, I think the big miss for this pilot is relax. You know, give yourselves a few episodes to introduce these characters.
I think what they've said is that obviously this is not going to be how every episode's going to be.
Right.
You know, you're not going to have Penguin and Poison Ivy and Riddler and Catwoman and Batman all in all these episodes. They just are establishing the world for this one. And then
I understand, but even still, I think those, you know, those cards are out on the table already. Like, we know mm-hmm. where those characters are. Mm-hmm. So I wish that there was a mystery up in the air as to
how Ivy's going to show like up. Like Mr. Freeze, they said, is going to come and people like that. So there's still some people who have to come. But the other thing is, you know, one of the things people were worried about was this was going to be a overload of young Bruce Wayne, but he's barely in the show. He's there for the murder, and he's there at the end. He wasn't in the middle, was he?
No. And I thought he was really good.
Yeah.
I mean, for a child actor on a TV show, not let alone like a movie or something, I thought he was really good. And hopefully they don't, you know, overuse that card. I also like Alfred, too.
Yeah, this is the Alfred from Batman Earth 1. This is the cockney badass Alfred mm-hmm. and not the elegant upper-class comic book Alfred.
And I like that.
I like it, too. I'm worried, though, because David Mazouz, who plays Bruce Wayne, David Mazouz, sorry.
Okay.
He's French.
Is he?
He's 13.
Yeah.
And that, as we all know, we were all 13 at one point.
yeah.
You very quickly enter a very awkward stage, mm-hmm. you know, in growth. And so he's very quick. You know, it's like the Walt problem.
Walt on Lost, I was going to say.
You know, in next season, he's going to look different. Or Bran on Game of Thrones. So,
and that's okay because he's going through a transition as a right. character. I like that bit where he's up on top of Wayne Manor.
Yes.
And he's overcoming his fears. And then Alfred's like, would you knock that off? Like, I
think Alfred's great. I actually really like Selina Kyle, too. You know, she saw the murder, so she's skulking around and stalking him a little bit.
Hanging out on tombstones and stuff. Before we move on, I really like Sean Pertwee. He's the son of the third Doctor, Doctor Who.
Oh, really?
And he looks just like him, except without the crazy hair. But anyways, I thought he was really good.
It's a cop show. I think one of the things people were worried about was going to be a Bruce Wayne show, and it's not. It's a cop show. It's a cop show set in Gotham.
Right.
Now, whether or not it morphs into some sort of Gotham Central-esque thing, we've got Renee Montoya, we've got Crispus Allen, we've got Sarah Essen, although it doesn't look like she is a love interest potential for Gordon, Sarah Essen. But yeah, but you got the pieces there for a Gotham Central-esque. And I was looking on the credits on IMDb, and they list a bunch of comics people who are usually credited for, you know, coming up with things, and Rucka's in there. So we may see elements of that bleed into the show. I think I was most pleasantly surprised that it was mostly a cop show, and there was hardly any Bruce Wayne. There was hardly any of those other characters. You know, Riddler was in one scene. It wasn't an overload, I thought.
Hmm.
And what did you think overall? Because I'm sure you heard all the bad buzz on it.
Well, yeah, I did, and so I was kind of dreading watching it, and it rolled around, and it's okay, it's time to talk about this. And the thing is, I've seen a lot of Batman media, Batman in comics, Batman in live action, Batman animation, and I've seen that origin story a bunch of times, seen a bunch of different Jim Gordons, and I love cop shows. We both love, you know, procedurals.
Right.
And detective shows, and plus you've actually got at least two actors from The Wire on here.
Yes,
you've got Falcone, and then you've got the cop who actually catches the case. That's Levy, the lawyer.
Oh yeah, the lawyer.
Was there another one?
Rawls
is Falcone. Yeah, so those two. Yeah. Unless there's anyone else that I'm missing, because they do turn up all over the place. Wire actors. I saw a play with a guy from The Wire in it. Who played one of the detectives. I can't think of his name, but anyways. He was in Man of La Mancha in a local theater production. And I was like, who is that guy? And I finally saw him in the playbill. I was like, whoa.
Awesome.
Anyways. So there's a lot of cliche in here for if you're, you know, if you've seen a lot of those things. Mm-hmm. But part of that is just going to be pilot training wheels. And hopefully those come off and we grow into a better show. And, you know, Smallville started off rough. It never got great. But it got really watchable.
I don't think there's anything in here that is like, oh god, I don't like that at all. I mean, even like for Fish Mooney, who I didn't like the most, wasn't terrible. It was just a little over the top.
Who was her second in command? I forget what they were called.
Penguin was.
No. Oh yeah, not the Penguin. The other guy who he said no, it was that guy.
Oh right.
It was the guy in the meat freezer.
Right. He's from The Mentalist. I don't remember what his name was.
I thought he was very good. Yeah. And I thought he struck the right tone in terms of how campy it should be and how grounded it should be.
Right.
The action sequences, like there's a chase sequence in here that is kind of rough.
Mm. You can also tell they did it quickly.
Yeah.
Like there's the sequence in the middle where Bullock and Gordon are questioning all the suspects looking for the murder, and it's all in the same set with the swinging light. I get what they were going for, but it looked really cheap.
Yeah, they were going for a montage of, okay, we're talking to everybody, and they do the trick of the light on the ceiling, and I was like, oh, that's kind of clever, but then they only had like three guys.
Yeah.
And they didn't have enough setups to really pull it off. So like you said, it just looked kind of cheap and on the run. But yeah, it's a pilot thing.
But I also really liked that the world was dark and dirty, because I think you have to start there. There has to be a reason for Batman to show up in the first place. And there has to be a reason for Gordon to want to reform things. Mm-hmm. So I like the fact that, you know, the police force is very clearly, obviously corrupt, full of corrupt cops. They're working with the mob and they murder suspects, and it has to start there. Has to start in the darkness before they get to the light and whatever the police is.
I am hopeful at least that with Falcone, you've got a character like Lionel Luthor from Smallville, mm-hmm. Who can do, like, that guy's good, and he's a great character actor. He's been all over the place, John Doman, and I think they can do some really interesting things with him. And just his little speech at the end about, I'm a businessman and mm-hmm. I need law and order and people need to have, you know, hope that things are going to get better. That's kind of interesting and more nuanced. I mean, we've seen that character before in other things, but for this show, I thought it was more nuanced than I was expecting. I thought, like, at that point, I thought it was going to be, you know, Jack Palance in Batman 89.
Which would have been fine,
if you could get Jack Palance.
A lot of heavy breathing. One thing I did find interesting and unexpected and slightly nuanced was the love triangle is actually an unusual love triangle. It's Gordon, his fiance Barbara,
right,
just like the comics, and Renee Montoya. And it's not between Montoya and Gordon, it's between Montoya and his fiance.
Do you think they're going in a Batwoman direction for Barbara?
That's a good question. I don't know, but I did find it very interesting. At first, I was perplexed, but then I thought, you know what? That's not a love triangle you see on TV very often. And so I thought that was a neat step to have the women be the two points in the triangle. Gordon on the side.
Mm-hmm.
But and not to shy away from Renee being a lesbian. That was good. So there's a lot of good things to build off of, I think, here. And well, now the real test for this show and for the Bruno Heller and the rest of the team is, what will they build from this? It's not bad.
Oh yeah, it's I think if it can get past the pilot stage and get into its own, I think it can be something fun to watch. I don't know that it'll ever be excellent, but it can be watchable.
And I don't think it needs to be excellent. You know, I think it just needs to be fun and entertaining.
Mm-hmm. Well, this thing is, we're at a different stage with these adaptations. And, you know, I mean, when Birds of Prey came out, you know, there was like no expectations for that. And mm-hmm. it wasn't very good. But it wasn't going up against like Nolan's Batman trilogy, which, right, problematic as it is in the end, you can do great things and great crime stories with Batman in live action.
Mm-hmm.
And even though we're talking film and TV, there's still a higher standard at this point. And you know, S.H.I.E.L.D. eventually came into its own. It definitely got more interesting towards mm-hmm. the latter half of its first season. And I think even Arrow, which I really enjoyed, that didn't start off, you know, super great. I mean, problematic at the start.
For me, I'm looking for it to be a network cop show in Gotham City.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't, you know, I'm never going to get that show I want. I'm never going to get the Gotham Central gritty cop show that happens to also take place in Gotham. So for me, this is as close as I'm going to get.
Give me a cop show that would be the top, like... I mean, The Wire is a network, but so like, right. What's a great...
Like Law & Order was a great cop show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're going back to Hill Street Blues. that kind
of thing.
It could
be a wacky Law & Order SVU, though.
I mean, I'm even fine with it being The Mentalist.
Yeah.
Quite honestly, because I really enjoy it. It's not a great show, but it's a really fun and good show that occasionally touches, you know, some, you know, very, very good.
Yeah, and if I'm honest, I'm the same way about crime shows. Like I love The Wire and I love Homicide, but they don't all have to be
Homicide
that.
Would be a great cop show.
Yeah. You know, or Hill Street Blues or something, but I like Monk, you know? So like
right.
It could be something like that and I'd be cool with it. And I think right now it's just got to be careful with juggling all of those characters and cameos and being so wink wink nudge nudge. And
I think for me even more important is the tone. They've got to be
tone,
careful.
Right.
Cuz I mean the characters fine, whatever. But for me, if they still kind of veer around, you know, it's got to find its footing and decide what kind of show it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
But for right now, I mean, I didn't dislike watching it. I had a good time watching it, despite the problems I had. I thought I liked it really good.
I think that second half won me over. If I just watched the first half, aside from that episode didn't finish, I'd be like, that was pretty bad. But with the second half, and I think
when Ben McKenzie grows his mustache in season two, Paul,
if they could go into post and before this episode airs and put a mustache on him, I'd be fine with that.
He's never gonna have the mustache. Never.
Never?
Poor guy. Never. He's never gonna have the mustache.
Glasses?
Well, maybe. But so that is Gotham, the pilot episode. You can go to fanboy.com and tell us what you thought of the show. There'll be a post for this show as long as other podcasts. And as we said earlier, next month we'll be reviewing the Flash podcast, the Flash pilot.
We're reviewing our own podcast.
And we're going to do a review show of our review
other
show.
People's reviews of the Flash. We'll be doing commentary.
And then there'll be the Constantine show. So both of those in October. Constantine is the 24th. I remember that, but I don't remember Flash is early October, the 17th. No, earlier than that. But look forward to those on coming out the days those shows premiere in the United States. Lots of fun. Lots of fun things to talk about. Hopefully all these shows do. I want all these shows to succeed and do well.
Exciting times. I mean, with all the new shows and plus the shows that are continuing on, there's it's like all over the TV dial.
Yeah. Maybe we'll be back for Marvel's Netflix shows. I think there's probably a pretty good chance.
Pretty good chance.
I think we're definitely excited. Let's put a stake in the ground on that one. Let's put a stake in the ground on Daredevil.
Okay.
No matter how
at which point we can talk about the whole season because it'll come out all at once.
Exactly.
Okay. So we're going to mainline them and...
So this is a good time. This is crazy time. You know, we've got four DC shows, maybe five or six in the future. No, Jesus, don't we have five or six?
Still do an Hour Man?
No.
Hour Man was somewhere in development. Is that gone the way
of a lot of shows are in development. You never
Amazon,
know.
Whatever it was?
Between Arrow, Gotham, iZombie, Constantine, The Flash, that's five right there.
Wow.
Just DC shows.
You plus know, even just saying, like, there are two Vertigo shows. You know,
right.
That are going to be on TV. If you can't, well, maybe Constantine is the new 52 Constantine, but whatever.
So a lot to talk about, lots of fun stuff. If you're into these things, you've got a lot of choices. So I hope everyone enjoyed the Gotham pilot. If you didn't, tell us why you didn't on the website. And we'll be back next week with Talking Comics, and we'll be back next month talking The Flash. And until then, I'm Connor.
And I'm Paul. Same bat time, same bat channel. Well, not really. Same bat channel.
Different bat channel.
Yeah.
Different decade, different channel. Not even in close.
Seven jealous fools playing by her rules. Can't believe her. You feel so in between. Can't break the scene. It would grieve her. And that's the reason why he must cry. He'll never leave her. Crooked children, yellow chalk, riding on a concrete walk, their king died.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? I've never used that phrase, but I instantly know what it means, and I think it's interesting because it works two different ways. Some people need to have their social battery charged, and they this is the introvert-extrovert thing, and some people, you know, like, they've got enough energy for other people, but then it's time to sort of step away, and, you know, as we get to this part where winter is ending, which, again, it's opposite. I love winter. I don't need it to end. You know, you start getting together with more people, and it can be a little draining on top of every other thing that we all have going on in our lives. I just assume everybody's overburdened because I think everybody's overburdened. But it can be tough to deal with. And also, one of the things is, like, you can't necessarily understand why you feel that way. everywhere, why it's making you tired, but it's a real thing. If you think that you could use some help with it, if you could figure out a way to make things better, therapy is a great way to help. It can give you that kind of self-awareness to know how to ride that level just right so that you you feel good, you feel right. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which is, again, we've been talking about being busy, right? You got to fit that in. You got a lunch period. You can do it during that time, whichever. That's possible. You fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I like that. There is no penalty for finding the person who is right for you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. Get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/iFanboy.